Get your exterior painting to-dos done easily with Dutch Boy Pristine Exterior Paint. With its rain rinse technology, rain naturally washes away dirt and grime. Plus, it resists cracking and peeling, making it perfect to withstand the harshest weather conditions. Save big money on Pristine Exterior Paint and start your painting project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the MyLowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more with volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
This is continuing coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
Court, all rise for the jury. Thank you. This court is back in session. Please be seated.
All right, so jurors, if you remember in my preliminary instructions to you a long time ago now, I stressed to you that the burden of proof rests with the Commonwealth. The defendant has no burden whatsoever, doesn't ever have to testify or present any evidence. So the Commonwealth has completed its case, Commonwealth has rested, and I want you to keep in mind that the defendant has no burden of proof. Ms. Giannetti, do you have a witness for us?
Thank you very much, Your Honor. The defense calls Brian Locke.
Okay.
He is.
Watch your step. You're solemnly give the court and jury the case now and here, and should be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
Can I proceed, Your Honor?
Yes.
Good morning, sir. In a good loud voice, would you state your name and spell your last name?
Sure. It's Brian Loughran. It's L-O-U-G-H-R-A-N.
And where are you from, sir?
Mr. Loughran, I'm going to ask you to keep your voice up as loud as you can, sir.
Sorry.
That's okay.
May put your mouth as close to the mic as you can. Where did you grow up, sir?
Canton, Mass.
Is that where you live?
Yes.
How long have you lived there?
Both 35, 36 years.
And did you go to Canton Public Schools?
Yes.
Now, in the course of living in Canton, were you familiar with the Albert family?
Yes.
Which members of the Albert family were you familiar with?
All of them.
And when you say all of them, can you name the ones that you were familiar with?
I was familiar with Brian.
Brian Albert?
Chris Albert, Brendan Albert, Kevin Albert, and I believe Kathy Albert is the sister, but I'm not 100% sure on her first name.
Okay, and those are the siblings that you had had contact with and were familiar with?
Yes.
Did you know some better than others?
Yes.
Whom did you know the best?
Chris Albert.
What is the age difference between you and Chris Albert?
I believe we're the same age.
Did you graduate high school with him?
He went to a different high school, but okay. Yes.
Graduated at the same time?
Correct.
And with regard to your familiarity with Chris Albert, can you explain to the jury how you became familiar with him and what your relationship with him has been?
I went to school with him, elementary school. We went to middle school, then he transferred to a Catholic school. Then later in years, I began to work for Chris for D&E Pizza, delivering pizzas.
Okay. And approximately what ages were you when you were were delivering pizzas for D&E Pizza and Chris Albert?
I was 25, 26 years old.
And how many years did you deliver pizzas for him?
Up until I got married, 35.
So several years.
8 years.
With regard to your interactions or knowledge of Kevin Albert, can you describe that?
Kevin Albert would be through D&E Pizza if he came in. Through the police department, would see him on details.
All right. And were you friendly with him?
Yes.
With regard to Brian Albert, could you describe your interactions or your relationship with him?
Again, through D&E Pizzas, delivering pizzas to his house. Cordial, polite, would say hello.
Right. So you're friendly with the Albert family?
Correct.
Now, back in January of 2022, where were you working?
I was working for the town of Canton.
In what department?
I was working in the sewer department.
Is that also called the water department?
Yes, water and sewer are combined.
And under heading is that?
The water DPW.
It's under the DPW, the Department of Public Works?
Correct.
Now, back in January of 2022, were you one of the regular snowplowers for the town of Canton?
Yes.
And directing your attention to January 28th of 2022, do you remember that day?
Yes.
What do you remember about that day, the 28th?
It was a potential blizzard. We had been given a start time.
All right. And when you say you had been given a start time, what does that mean?
It means that we're expected to be in our trucks at a certain time on our route.
Okay. And who gives those instructions back in January of 2022?
The supervisor for Canton DPW.
And who was that at the time?
William Walsh.
Also known as Billy Walsh?
Yes.
Now, when were you called in to do plowing that evening or early morning?
We were told to be in by 2:30.
And is that 2:30 a.m. or p.m.?
A.m.
Would that now be on January 29th?
Correct.
So what time did you arrive at the DW that early morning?
About 2:15.
When you got there, what did you need to do in order to go out plowing?
I needed to get into my truck and get that prepared to go out.
All right. And your truck, is there one that's specifically assigned to you when you plow?
Yes.
And does that truck have any particular nickname?
Yes, it's called the Frank. Truck.
And why is it called the Franken truck?
It is a truck that has a lot of different parts than what it's required. It's not parts that were made for that specific truck.
An older one?
Yes. It was a truck that was very uncomfortable at the beginning to use, so they try to make it as comfortable as possible.
And that particular truck, is it used for anything else other than snow plowing?
Yes, it's used for everyday use.
Now, so you get to the DPW at 2:15, you say that you get your truck ready. What does it that entail to get your truck ready, and how long does it take?
It takes about 5 minutes, but just basically you need to make sure that it's got enough gas in it so we're not going to the route and running out of diesel fuel, which is not good. It's just basically going over the truck, making sure you have everything you need for that night.
And do you plow alone or with someone?
By myself.
Now, with regard to the visibility in your snowplow Franken truck, can you describe that for the jury, what you can see?
So the Franken truck has an air ride suspension, an air ride seat, so the seat is raised so I can see over the hood. Okay. And I can see about 5 feet on either side of the passenger side, driver's side.
And when you say 5 feet, are you talking straight out from the...
From the windshield, straight out.
All right. And what, if any, lighting do you have on Franken truck?
We have marking lights. We have two plow lights that are situated at the corners of the trucks, and it's up high. Illuminates very well. It's very well seen.
Okay. And with the extra set of lighting that you just described, how far can you see off to the sides in front of you and directly in front of you?
Probably 5 feet on the sides.
So you already testified to that, 5 feet straight out.
Yeah.
But what about the sides going forward?
It's hard to decide to put into words, but I can see a real long distance. The visibility is fine. It is extremely, if you gave me probably 5, 10 feet, 15 feet out, maybe even further.
And with regard to the lighting, how much light does that give off?
Enormous amounts. It's almost driving with the spotlight.
And with regard to the air ride seats, what action did you take with those that particular night?
I raised it so that the bottom of my knees would hit the steering wheel.
And what, if any, obstructions, I should say, were in front of you that would prevent you from seeing what's in front of you or to the side?
Nothing.
All right. Now, do you have a specific route assigned? assigned?
Yes, I do.
Could you describe that route? And by the way, that specific route, was that the one that you were assigned on January 29th?
Correct.
Could you describe that for the jury?
Yes, it's a route that consists of Cedar Crest from Kings Road to Chapman Street and everything in between. There are a lot of streets I could name if you would like, but Fairview is one, Spring Lane is one, Cedar Crest, Kings Road. Those are pretty important roads that were, I would consider, major roads on my route.
All right. Now, that particular night, if you got there at 2:15, what time do you think you were on the road by in Frankentruck?
I was on Cedar Crest about 2:30, 2:35.
Now, with regard to Cedar Crest, I would like to show you a map, if I can. May I approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
I've handed you a document. If you could just review that to yourself and then look up at me when you're done. Do you recognize what's depicted on that?
Yes.
What is it?
It is my plow route and consisting of streets that I plow.
All right. And to be fair, that's a portion of your plow route, right?
Correct.
There are other areas of the city that you plow?
This actually depicts my actual physical route.
Oh, okay. Great. And that's a fair and accurate representation of the streets as they existed back in January of 2022?
Yes.
I would offer that, Your Honor.
Any objection, Mr. Lally?
No, Your Honor.
Okay.
And could I have permission to publish for the jury?
Sure.
Okay. Now, you just testified that you got the Cedar Crest, I believe you said 2:30 to 2:35 or so?
Correct.
All right. As we look at this exhibit on the screen, are you going from right to left or left to right on Cedar Crest when you first approach Fairview?
Right to left.
Okay. So you're going sort of from the upper right-hand corner of the diagram down Cedar Crest toward Fairview. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Take the laser pointer and just confirm that route for the jury. That's Fairview Road? Are you able to read that right?
I'm not, to be honest with you. I'm sorry.
Maybe that'll help me.
And actually, can I orient it so it's oriented just like that for him? That's how it's on the screen.
Okay.
And by the way, I should have asked it, but is it in terms of the, is it you can't read the writing or you can't really see the outline of the streets?
Both.
Okay. Well, that's not going to help much. Okay. If we can have the lights back on. With the court's permission, can I leave that up on the screen while I ask more questions?
Sure, except he said he can't see it.
Right. No, I know, but the jury can. So I think it would be helpful for them. All right. So you're coming down Cedar Crest, and would Fairview be on your left or your right when you first approach it?
When I first approach, it's on my left.
All right. Now, do you take that left at that time?
No, I do not.
Why not?
At the time, I'm pushing snow, and we don't want to block any part of the road with snow, and taking a left would have left a ring row of snow. So I proceed to the end of Cedar Crest, do a cul-de-sac, and then head back up Cedar Crest.
All right, so there's a cul-de-sac at the end of Cedar Crest.
Correct.
Dead end.
Yes.
And you plow that?
Yes.
All right, so then when you come back up, is Fairview on your right or your left?
It is on my right.
What do you do?
I take that right and continue to plow.
Now, are you familiar with the Albert residence on Fairview Road?
Yes.
How did you become familiar with that?
Growing up in Canton, I knew where they lived.
Okay. I have Exhibit 66 displayed with the court's permission.
Yes.
From where you're seated now, Mr. Loughran, are you able to see what's on the screen?
Yes.
Recognize that?
Yes.
What do you recognize?
I start in the middle and I angle right with the plow.
Now, I want to direct your attention to when you were, your truck was essentially perpendicular to the driveway. You see the driveway in Exhibit 66?
Yes, I do.
When you were perpendicular to the driveway, where were your headlights pointed?
In front of me. In front of the truck.
I'm sorry?
In front of the truck.
And what were you able to see of the front lawn of the Albert residence that very first time you passed?
I was able to see the entire front lawn.
And about what time was it that you first passed 34 Fairview Road?
About 2:45.
Now, as you continued along past the driveway, did you continue to have all of those headlights on in front of you?
Yes.
And as you continued along, what were you able to see of that front lawn? How much of it?
A very large portion, almost to the front steps.
And now, when you're plowing, where is your attention focused, sir?
My attention's focused in front of me and then to the sides.
Why would your attention be focused on?
I am trying to be aware of any side traffic, any pedestrians, and, God forbid, any animals.
And when you were passing the Albert resident, as you pass every home, what attention do you pay to the sides of the road and the lawns that are adjacent to the road?
I'm, again, making sure that there are no animals, no no pedestrians and making sure no one's coming out of their driveways, not expecting to see me.
And with regard to Exhibit 66, you see the flagpole there?
Yes.
Is that something you had seen previously?
Yes.
And when you made that first pass by that residence at 2:45 in the morning, sir, with your headlights on, what, if anything, did you see on the front lawn in the area of the flagpole?
I saw nothing.
If there had been a 6'2", 200-pound man lying in the snow there, would you have seen it?
Objection.
Sustained.
Okay. Now, once you pass the residence, where do you go?
I go to the end of Fairview.
What street does that intersect?
That intersects with Chapman Street.
Have you reason to put back up with the court's permission?
Sure.
Okay. Do you still have the exhibit oriented the same way, sir?
Yes, I do.
Where's Chapman Street on the exhibit? Down the bottom, the top, or which side?
Down the bottom.
And when you come to the end of Fairview with Cedar Crest in your rear now, right?
Correct.
Do you take a left or a right on Chapman?
I take a left.
All right.
Onto
and
Chapman.
Once you take that left, what do you do?
I back up and then take a left to go back down Fairview.
So you're essentially doing almost a three-point turn in the road?
Correct.
All right. So now, do you go back down Fairview at that time?
Yes, I do.
And how far do you go down Fairview?
To the end, to Cedar Crest.
Now, at this point in time, you would also pass the Albert Res, correct?
Correct.
Would it be on your right or your left?
On my left.
Were you looking to the right and the left as you were coming down?
Yes.
How much light did your headlights illuminate of the Albert front lawn as you were coming down from Chapman Street?
Coming down Chapman, just about the entire front lawn.
And again, with regard to that area around the flagpole, do you see anything on the lawn?
Nothing.
Your body?
No.
All right. Now, after you've done these two passes, sir, where do you go?
I then take a right on the Cedar Crest. I proceed up Spring Lane, come down Spring Lane, and then do the remaining of my route.
How long did it take you before you wound up back at Cedar Crest and Fairview?
About 40, 45 minutes.
So I think you had previously testified you made the first pass around 2:45?
Correct.
So would that put us at about 3:30 when you're about to make the second pass?
Objection.
Stand asking.
Sure, I'm sorry. What time was it, to your best estimate, in terms of when you would have approached Fairview and Cedar Crest again?
3:15 to 3:30.
Now, when you approach that intersection again, are you approaching it such that Fairview would be on your left or your right this time?
On my left.
Same as last time.
Correct.
What do you do when you approach Cedar Crest? I'm sorry, when you approach Fairview and it's on your left?
At that point, I have an option. I can go to the end of Cedar Crest or I can turn around at a street depending on how much snow I have on Fairview.
And with regard to the decision you made regarding that choice, what decision did you make on January 29th? Went all the way to the end of Cedar Crest.
Correct.
Same thing you did the first time.
Correct.
And then you come back up?
Correct.
Is Fairview on your right or your left at that time?
It would be on my right.
And did you take that right?
Yes, I did.
What, if anything unusual, did you see at that
point? At that point, I saw a Ford Edge on the side of the road.
Where was it parked on the side of the road?
In front of the Albert's house.
Where in front of the Albert's house?
By the flagpole.
And why was that unusual?
The Alberts never had cars that were parked out front, and it just stuck out as weird.
Now, what were the snow conditions like at that point? This is now, I think you said, about 3:15 to 3:30.
It's starting to accumulate a lot quicker than what it was previous.
And what policies does the DPW have regarding cars parked in the street during a blizzard where there's plowing to be done?
We are to notify the supervisor. At that point, he will make a phone call to the police, and depending on if they can have the resident move it, it gets moved. If not, it gets towed.
And with regard to that policy, did you comply with that policy in those early morning hours?
No, I did not.
Why?
Because I was being courteous to the Albert family.
Now, once you saw the Ford Edge park on the side of the road near that flagpole, what did you do?
I had to go around the vehicle and as to not hit the vehicle.
All right. And probably obvious, but as you're approaching the vehicle, was it faced in the same direction that you were traveling?
Yes.
And so you're going around to the left or the right of the vehicle?
Left.
And once, as you were approaching that vehicle, were you able to see on the right side of that vehicle the lawn sign?
Yes.
Did you see anything on the front lawn at that time?
Objection.
I'll allow it. Did you see anything?
No.
Lights were still on.
Correct.
Right, now, once you passed the vehicle, did anything attract your attention at all?
No. Right.
Where do you go?
I go up to the end of Fairview and do the same process. Take a left on Chapman and back down Chapman and take a left into Fairview again.
Once you come back down Fairview, do you pass the Albert residence again?
Correct.
was there that car that you saw?
Correct.
It moved from when you passed it the first time?
No.
Were you able to see the front lawn of the Alberts in front of you as you were coming down Fairview toward Cedarcliff?
Not as much as the first time because the car blocked the view.
All right. Now, after that, how long did it take you before you came back to that area to plow again?
About 3 hours.
Do you recall about what time it was that you wound up back on Fairview?
I don't honestly recall what specific time.
Sure. Approximately, if it was 3:15, 3:30, that second time, how what would be your best estimate of the time when you came back?
I would say, if I had to say, it would have been 5:30 up Fairview. Okay. And came back down, and then at that point, I wasn't able to come go further than Carriage Lane.
Okay, and when you say that you went up Fairview and came back down, you initially went from which side of Fairview?
Right side.
What would that be, the right side? I'm sorry. Would it be the Cedarcrest side or the...
It would have been Cedarcrest side.
Coming from Cedarcrest, and then you went up Fairview, came back down?
Came back down. As I'm going up, I am actually seeing first responders. And at that point, as I'm coming back down, the road's blocked at that point.
Oh, and when the road was blocked, what, if any, plowing were you able to do after that on Fairview?
I was able to go as far as Carriage Lane and then turn around.
Okay, and then I imagine it was several hours before you could plow again?
Before I could plow Fairview to the end of Cedarcrest, yes.
Now, I'd like to direct your attention to February 15th of 2022. Were you approached by an investigator who wanted to ask you questions about what you had seen and done on January 29th of 2022?
Yes.
Do you remember his name?
Yes.
What is it?
Paul.
And what was your understanding about whom Paul worked for?
Objection.
Ask it differently.
On February 15th of 2022, were you ever approached by anybody in law enforcement, sir?
No.
So what was your understanding of Paul's job?
Objection.
I'll see Councilor Tybar.
You are unmuted.
Just a couple questions, Mr. Lockhart.
Sure.
At any point in 2022, were you ever approached by any police investigators, sir?
No.
When was the first time that you were approached by the state police in this case? Do you recall?
I don't recall the actual date, but I do know.
Year?
Yes.
What year was that?
2023.
And do you recall the name of the investigator that approached you?
Mike Proctor and Sergeant, and I can't pronounce his name. I don't want to.
If I said Bukenik, would that ring a bell?
Yes, it is.
I have nothing further. Thank you, sir.
Okay, Mr. Lally.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
May I approach?
Yes.
Sir, I'm showing you a document that's already been marked 109. I ask you to look at that and look up over your finish, okay?
Yes.
You recognize that, sir?
Yes, I do.
And what do you recognize that?
These are the plow routes for the town of Canton.
And there's different numbers that are associated with different routes and different drivers assigned to those routes. Is that right?
Yes.
And look down at number 11. Is that your route that you're talking about as far as the portion of Cedar Crest neighborhood that you plow?
Yes.
And that's the route that you were assigned to on January 28th and January 29th, 2020, correct?
Yes.
Now, if I could ask, just as far as there's a certain way that you plow a route. Yes. Excuse me. There's a certain way that you plow a route, correct?
Correct.
And when you first plowing the road, you're sort of plowing the middle, correct?
Correct.
And you do it in sort of a fashion that's referred to as ring road right, is that correct?
Yes.
Can you explain to the jury what that is and sort of why you're plowing a road in that fashion when you're first starting to get out there with the plow?
So ring road to the right refers to the snow coming off the plow. It actually leaves a row of snow. We ring road to the right to prevent cars from having to go through the ring road to the left. If you go to the left, you've now put the ring road in the middle of the left-hand lane. So everything's to the right.
So everything's to the right because if there was a vehicle coming the other way, you'd be plowing into that vehicle. Is that correct?
Correct.
And your goal sort of when you're first getting out there to plow the road, sort of clear the middle of the roadway first, correct?
Correct.
So that's where your truck is when you first go out and plow the road, is you're sort of in the middle of the road near the double yellow line if there is one on that road?
Correct.
Okay. Now, this truck that you were driving on that day, how long have you been assigned to that truck for plowing?
I was assigned to that truck for probably 2 years, maybe longer.
Maybe longer. Were you driving that same truck in 2015?
No.
Okay, so you were driving a different truck at that point?
Correct.
Do you remember what kind of truck that was?
It was an F-550 utility truck, pickup truck.
Similar in size or shape to the truck that you were driving that day?
No.
Now, you were asking questions about February 15th, 2022, and you spoke to some investigator on that day, correct?
February 15th?
Yes, 2020. That Paul person you talked to?
Yes.
And you met him at a skating rink, is that right?
Correct.
And you said in a statement
statement to him at that time that you would have seen a body on the front lawn or the sidewalk. Is that right?
Correct.
Now, are you aware that there is no sidewalk on the same side of the street as 34 Fairview Road?
Correct.
Now, you mentioned some familiarity with the Alberts and with the Albert resident. Are there other people on that route that you're familiar with as far as where they live and who they are and all that?
Yes.
And how are you equally familiar with them, more familiar with them, or less familiar?
Equally.
Now, familiarity with 34 Fairview Road, does that extend to sort of the lighting around that area?
No.
So do you know that there is actually no street lighting whatsoever in the area of the fire hydrant, the flagpole, or anywhere there for several hundred feet?
Correct.
So you do know that?
I believe so, yes.
And so when you're driving by, you're looking for cars coming out of the driveway, cars coming in the opposite direction, people walking, is that correct?
Correct.
And you're trying to look for those objects so that you make sure that you don't strike them or hit them or anything like that, correct?
Correct.
And on February 15th, 2022, when you had this meeting with Paul, you told him about 3:30 or 4 a.m. Is when you saw this Ford Edge on Cedar Cliffs, correct?
Correct.
Now, in fact, when you first spoke to this individual named Paul, you didn't tell him it was a Ford Edge, correct?
Nope. Told him it was a Ford Edge.
You didn't tell him first that it was a small SUV?
Nope. Told him it was a Ford Edge.
You remember at any time Paul taking you on the parking lot and showing you different vehicles and asking you if those vehicles matched what vehicle you saw?
No. He wanted to make sure that what I was telling him was accurate. So he showed me what was a Ford Edge, but I had already told him it was a Ford Edge.
So he brought you out to the parking lot at the skating rink that you were meeting at, specifically showed you a Ford Edge and asked you if that was the vehicle.
Correct.
Now, do you know sort of the difference between if you were to see a Ford Edge at nighttime in a snowstorm, the difference between a Ford Edge and a Jeep Cherokee?
Yes. The taillights in the back.
What about it?
Ford Edge is a more round. The whole back facade is a little bit more round. A Jeep Cherokee is more square.
Now, what color was this SUV that you saw?
I can't tell you that. I am colorblind.
Can you tell? I'm just curious, sir. As far as your colorblindness, can you tell whether or not an object is dark or light just by looking at it? Or you can't tell at all?
I can see things that are light. I can see things that are dark. I can see true color. I can't see shades of true color.
And so from what you saw, was it light or dark?
Light.
You told this Paul individual on February 15th that the SUV that you saw was exactly where Mr. O'Keefe's body was found, correct?
Correct.
How do you know where his body was found?
I told him specifically if he was looking at the door, the front door, it was about 3 feet to the left of the door.
And with to the left of the door?
Looking at the front of the door to the left of the door, pushing it up Fairview.
So if he wrote in his report that you told him that the vehicle was exactly where the body was found, that would not be true?
Objection.
No, I'll allow that.
Could you repeat that question, please?
If he wrote in his report that you told him that the SUV was exactly where the body was found, that would not be true, would it not?
That would be true. The car was to the left of the door, putting it in front of the flagpole.
My question for you, sir, is how do you know where Mr. O'Keefe's body was found? At any point in time, did you see Mr. O'Keefe's body on the front lawn?
No.
So how do you know where Mr. O'Keefe's body was found?
Through police reports, police interviews, stuff that was posted on the media.
So you've seen police reports in the media?
Well, not correct? The police reports, I'm sorry, but what was said on the news.
So what you've heard on the news, not necessarily what you saw or what you know yourself, correct?
Could you repeat that question, please?
You're recounting sort of what you've heard or saw on the news, so this doesn't come from your personal knowledge or anything about where Mr. O'Keefe was, correct?
Correct.
Now, you also spoke with some other individuals in May of 2020, correct?
Correct.
Now, did you tell those individuals that you actually came in, and when you say came in, you come into sort of the main sort of hub or the shed on Boulevard Street, correct?
Correct. We punch in.
That's where you punch in and you pick up your truck and you sort of do your checkpoint around the truck and then you go out and plow.
Correct.
Now, you were plowing on this street. Was there any other sort of subcontractor or anything else that was working plowing the roads as well?
Yes.
And who was that?
It was By the Yard Landscaping.
And so they assist as far as the plow route is concerned and they go around and they plow things on the same route that you were describing, correct?
Correct.
Now, these other people that you talked to in May of 2023, did you tell them at that time that you actually came in around 11:30 p.m. to 12 a.m.?
I don't remember that.
You don't remember that or you didn't tell them?
I don't remember that.
So that would be a significant difference, 11:30 p.m. to 12 a.m. from 2:15 a.m. and 30 a.m., correct?
Correct.
Now, you also indicated to them at that time that you went past Fairview at approximately 12 a.m. and 2 a.m., correct?
I never did 12, but it was definitely 2:30, 2:40, 2:35.
That would be inaccurate as well, correct?
Sustained, and only one person can talk.
I'm sorry, sir. Please continue and finish your answer.
I didn't didn't hear the question.
Okay.
Well, let me ask it again. So as far as if that was contained within a report regarding that conversation in May of 2023, that you went past Fairview Road or went down Fairview Road at 12 a.m. and 2 a.m., that would not be accurate, correct?
Objection.
Sustained, asking.
Did you go down Fairview Road at 12 a.m. and 2 a.m.?
No.
If that were contained in a report of your conversation you had in May of 2023, would that be accurate?
Objection.
Sustained. Ask it differently, Mr. Lally.
Now, as far as that conversation that you had in May of 2023, did you tell those individuals that you saw the vehicle around 1:30 or 2 in the morning?
Again, I don't remember ever saying that.
Is that accurate as far as whether or not you told them that?
Again, I don't remember saying that.
Did you see a vehicle around 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning?
I wasn't on the road at 1:30 or 2 o'clock in the morning.
Right. Now, do you also recall telling those individuals that Fairview Road was blocked off by cruisers at about 3 or 3:30 in the morning?
Again, that would have been incorrect.
You recall saying that in May of 2020?
I do not.
May I approach, Your Honor?
Yes. Show counsel.
So I'm going to ask you to read. I'm going to adopt. I ask you this paragraph, this paragraph, paragraph yourself, okay? And then whenever you're done, just please look back. Are you finished, sir?
Yes.
Can I approach you?
Yes.
Mr. Loughran, after having reviewed that, as your memory refreshed as to that conversation you had in May of 2023?
No, it does not.
You still, after reading that, don't recall telling anybody in May of 2023 that you came in around 11:30 p.m., 12 a.m. on the 28th, 29th?
I never came in at 11:30, 12:30 at night. It was 2:30 calling.
You don't recall indicating to anyone in May of 2023 that you went past Fairview at 12 a.m. and 2 a.m.?
Correct. Never did.
And you don't recall telling anyone that you saw the car around 1:30 or 2 a.m.? Is that correct?
Correct.
You don't recall telling anybody that the part of Fairview, containing 34 Fairview, was locked off at 3 or 3:30 a.m., correct?
Correct.
Now, if the part of Fairview that you were talking about, you didn't say that in May of 2023, because at 3 or 3:30, the roadway wasn't blocked off, correct?
Correct.
Blocked off sometime around 6 a.m., correct?
Correct.
And so if you had said that the roadway was blocked off at 3 or 3:30 in the morning, and it was actually 6, then when you saw the vehicle, would have been off a little bit as well, correct?
Objection.
Sustained.
Seeing the car at 1:32 in the morning with the road being blocked off at 3 or 3:30 in the morning, if the road's blocked off at 6 a.m., then that actually would have been you saw a car sometime around 5 a.m., correct?
Objection.
Sustained.
Sure you didn't see a black Lexus SUV in front of the house at 34 Fairview Road around 5 a.m.?
No.
Now, you also were asked some questions. You spoke to some troopers in August of 2020, correct?
Correct.
And in the town of Canton, they have a parking ban in Canton, is that correct?
Correct.
That goes from November until April?
Correct.
Now, part of your plow route is a road called Tippy Cart, correct?
Correct.
Where is Tippy Cart in relation to Fairview?
It is on top of the, it's on the right side of Cedar Crest. It would put it two streets before Fairview.
And at some point when you were plowing on Tippy Cart that night, you actually hit a basketball, is that right?
Yes.
And did you call that in?
Yes.
And as a result of that, what happened with the basketball about that?
Nothing. The point was to make sure I was covered, basically. That's why I notified my supervisor that I hit the basketball hoop.
About what time was that you hit the basketball?
I don't recall.
Closer to when you started, closer to when you ended?
I don't recall. I don't recall what time.
You don't recall anything specific about that time, correct?
No, just that I know I hit the basketball net.
And obviously, and I'm not trying to put words in your mouth or anything, sir, but you didn't intentionally hit the basketball hoop, correct?
Correct.
So you hit it because you didn't see, correct?
No, I was attempting to avoid the net by going around it, and the machine had a different size body than what it originally had, and I underestimated when I was going around that I need to be wider.
So you misjudged the distance, is that fair to say?
Yes.
May we approach, Your Honor?
Okay.
You are unmuted.
Now, sir, at some point prior to coming in here and testifying today, have you met with Mr. Yannetti?
Yes.
How many times?
Twice.
And when were those times?
Tuesday and Saturday.
And Saturday when?
Tuesday of last week, Saturday of last week.
And this Paul person that you spoke of before, was that person present there as well?
Yes.
And did you make note of Paul writing anything down or Mr. Yannetti writing anything down while you were talking to them?
No.
And as far as you're aware, there's no reports that were generated from any of those conversations or any of those meetings, is that correct?
Correct.
So, sir, I'm correct if I say that you're sure about every time that you went down Fairview Road and everything that you saw going down Fairview Road, but you're completely unaware of the time that you ran into and struck a basketball hoop that night. Is that correct?
Objection.
Sustained. You can ask it, too.
You're sure about all the times that you went down Fairview Road?
Yes.
And you have no idea what time that you went on Tippy Cart and you struck the basketball hoop, is that right?
If you ask me to guess, I can guess for you.
I'm not asking you to guess, sir. I'm asking you to know.
I don't recall exactly what time I hit that net.
Nothing further.
All right, anything, Ms. Tiannetti?
There's just one question I wanted to make sure that you understand what's going on.
So no statements, right? Just ask a question.
I always do that. I apologize, Your Honor. You were asked a question by Mr. Lally. Are you sure you didn't see a black Lexus at around 5 a.m. in front of Fairview? And your answer was no. And my question to you is, does that mean that you're not sure if you saw one or that you didn't see?
Objection.
I'll allow that.
I did not see a Lexus at 5 a.m.
At any point that night while you were plowing?
No.
Did you see a black Lexus in front of 34 Fairview?
No.
Very briefly, based on your timeline, were you on Fairview Road at 5 a.m.?
Yes.
How so, sir?
It was about 3 hours after the last time I went on it, so it put me, I was last on it at about 4:15, about 5:30.
You were on the road about 2:45, and they said it took you about 45 minutes to sort of do the loop and come back, correct?
Correct.
And from the time that you were on there, including the time that it took you to plow and the time that it took you to do all of those things along the route, you're coming back to Fairview Road at 45 minutes later, or it took 45 minutes of the route?
It was about 45 minutes.
And so from there, 45 minutes, from what time are we talking that you were first there? Is that about 2:45 or so?
About 3:30.
About 3:30, okay. Yeah. So about 3 hours after that would then be about 6:30, correct?
It was about, I mean, I know I went up there and saw the first responders coming down. And when I...
What I'm asking is, you had testified that you may or you were on Fairview Road around 5 a.m. If you're not returning 3 hours later, and that's about 6:30 from 3:30, correct?
Correct.
But then you were not on Fairview Road at 5 a.m., correct?
I was. The time that it took me to do what I needed to do put me there about 5. So when I'm coming down Cedar Crest from doing my route, I am constantly looking at Fairview to make sure that it's considered a main road. So we need to take that as a priority. So if it's a lot of snow on that road, I am going to go turn around and do the road so that the road is available. So first responders have access to that road.
So, sir, what I'm saying is you testified your timeline that you came down there around 6:30 in the morning, correct?
My timeline was 5:30. 5:30?
3:30.
It was 45 minutes.
45 minutes was 2:45 to get you to 3:30. Then 3 hours later, it's 6:30, correct?
It was about 45 minutes because I didn't get a lot of time. At that time, the snow was coming down at a significant rate, and I needed to make sure Fairview was kept clear. So I come down and I check. So I have the streets are all around Fairview. They're 5-10 minutes around Fairview. So the furthest street from Fairview is Kings Road.
So my question is, sir, are you talking about coming down Fairview, or are you talking about being on another road and looking at Fairview?
Coming down Cedar Crest looking at Fairview.
Despite that timeline that you gave her.
I am always looking at that street.
Nothing.
All right, Mr. Loughran, you are all set, sir.
Thank you.
You got a room to ask Dr. Marie Russell.
Okay.
You solemnly swear to be able to speak to the court and jury in the case now in hearing, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help God.
I do.
All right, whenever you're ready, Mr. Jackson.
Thank you, Your Honor. Dr. Russell, could you please, in a loud, clear voice, state your name and spell your last name for us?
Hi, Dr. Marie Russell, R-U-S-S-E-L-L.
Doctor, what do you do for a living?
I'm an emergency room forensic pathologist, just recently retired.
And prior to retirement, what was your position?
The immediate position before retirement was chief medical executive at for the state of California at the Corcoran State Prison.
And so, Dr. Russell, I'm going to ask you to keep your voice up, okay?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
There's a couple of air conditioners in here. Just keep your voice as loud as possible. What is, in fact, an emergency physician?
An emergency physician is a medical specialist who has completed a residency in the field of emergency medicine, which is a field which involves taking care of patients that are sick or injured and go to the emergency room.
Can you tell us what your education, starting with your education, training, and background is that qualifies you as an emergency physician, starting with your education all the way back to college?
Okay. Well, I have completed at least 16 years of formal education beyond high school, which includes college, and then 4 years of medical school, then 4 years of emergency medicine residency and internship, and then 4 years of pathology residency, which includes 2 years of anatomic and 2 years of forensic pathology. And then I treated, I've taken a bunch of other courses and attended seminars.
Let's start with your college. Where'd you go to college? Where'd you start?
Okay. MIT. I did my first year at MIT, where I took my pre-med courses.
And then what happened after that? By the way, about what year was that?
Oh, that was in 1972 to 73.
Where did you go after MIT?
I was interested in becoming a doctor, and so I took the pre-med courses. And then subsequent to that first year, I learned that my mother had metastatic breast cancer, and so I decided to go home to New York to be with her. After that, she subsequently passed away, and I returned to Massachusetts and decided to take advantage of the time off from school to investigate my interest in law enforcement, and I subsequently became a police officer here in Massachusetts.
So following MIT, did you go to a police academy?
I did.
Which police academy did you go to?
I went to the Boston Police Academy.
And did you end up becoming a sworn officer?
Yes.
For how long?
I did it for 7 years full time.
And what department did you work for?
I worked for the City of Malden Police Department.
What years was that? You can give me a range.
From 1977 to 1984.
During the time that you were a Malden police officer, did you also go to school and continue your formal education?
I did.
Describe that for us, please.
Well, I took specialized courses through the Massachusetts Criminal Justice Training Council.
Objection, move to strike.
All right, so I'm going to strike that. Jurors, disregard that.
Let me ask you this way. I don't want to get into the specifics.
Okay.
While you were a police officer, did you also take formal education to further your medical training or your college?
Yes, I did.
That's what I'm interested in.
Okay.
Tell us about that.
Oh, yeah. So I attended Northeastern University part-time and received a Bachelor of Science degree in psychology.
After you got your degree in psychology from Northeastern, did you go on to continue your education in medicine?
I did. I attended medical school at the University of Massachusetts Medical School from 1983 to 1987.
Also known as UMass?
Yes.
Did you ultimately end up with a medical degree?
Did.
After you became a doctor, did you engage in a residency?
Yes.
What years were the residency, that first residency?
So the first residency was from 1987 to 1990. And that was in Los Angeles at the Los Angeles County University of Southern California Medical Center.
Is that also known as LAUSC?
It was at the time, yes.
And that's associated with the University of Southern California Medical Center, is that right?
Yes.
After your first residency, by the way, what was your first residency in? What was the subspecialty?
So it was in emergency medicine, and USC is a very large trauma center.
How would you describe the size and volume of the USC trauma center?
Well, it's one of the busiest in the United States.
After your first residency in emergency medicine, did you do a second residency?
Yes.
What was the subspecialty in that second residency?
So I did a 2 years in anatomic pathology and 2 years as a fellow in forensic pathology at the Los Angeles County Coroner's Office.
So you did two full residencies after you became a doctor, is that right?
That is correct.
What's the difference? I don't want to go into great detail, but what's the difference between an emergency physician and for instance, the residency that you did in pathology, both anatomic pathology and forensic pathology? What are the differences?
Well, generally, the emergency physician treats live patients, and the spectrum of injuries can be wide, or illnesses can be wide, and the forensic pathologist treats or deals with deceased patients generally.
Did you become a fellow at the LA coroner's office following your second residency?
No, that was part of the second residency.
Understood. Describe that fellowship.
So that was 2 years of full-time work at the LA coroner's office under the supervision of very experienced medical examiners. And what I did was I did autopsies every day, one or two autopsies every day, attended conferences, and read journal articles, etc. It was a very formalized education.
Did you also become at some point a professor or an assistant professor at LAUSC, the medical center? center side, the university side.
Yes. So while I was doing the forensic pathology and anatomic pathology residencies during the daytime, I worked as a full-time ER doc supervisor in the capacity of an assistant professor in the evenings.
Did you also become an adjunct professor at Cal State Los Angeles, California State Los Angeles?
Yes.
Is that a separate university?
Yes.
And you had separate responsibilities as a professor in that role?
Yes.
Were you also teaching legal medicine and forensic medicine in that capacity?
That is correct. It was a master's level program.
How long were you an ER physician in total and an attending physician for Los Angeles County USC Medical Center?
29 years in total. Four of those were in training and the rest were as a supervisor. And
of your 25 of your 29 years, you were supervising others?
Correct.
Meaning other doctors?
Other doctors, yes.
Teaching other doctors?
Yes.
And teaching medical students?
Yes. And seeing their cases, once they examined the patient, they would present their case or tell me about the case, and then I would go in and see those patients in addition to my patients.
That was my next question, doctor. In addition to teaching, were you also specifically assessing, diagnosing, and treating patients of your own?
Yes. Not all the time. Some shifts I didn't have to do that, but much of the time, yes.
For the bulk of the 29 years that you were an ER doc, an emergency physician, in other words, were you also attending to patients as well?
Yes.
Once you left that fellowship with the LA Coroner's Office, did you remain active in any way or connected to the Los Angeles Coroner's Office?
Yes. So I would attend their weekly conferences when I could, when I was available to do so. And I also consulted on some cases with them. So if they had something, the director of USC Center for Life Support Training, that involved teaching other doctors life support courses such as advanced cardiac life support, or that we teach the surgeons advanced trauma life support. Go ahead.
Were you also a director for their quality improvement in the early 2000s?
Yes, for the emergency medicine department.
What was the reason for the quality improvement program, if you will, for LAUSC?
Well, for any program, it's ideal to have a quality improvement component, because what you want to do is look at cases that were treated and see if there were any errors. And if so, correct the errors, teach the doctors that involved, you know, what went wrong, and try to make systemic improvements or teaching improvements to prevent those errors from occurring in the future.
Were you teaching basically best practices for emergency room physicians as well as trauma physicians and surgeons?
Yes, we tried.
And you were the director of that program, correct?
Yes.
Did you also become the director of LAUSC Jail Medical Services?
Yes.
What is the connection or the tether between the jail system in Los Angeles and LAUSC Medical Center?
Well, LAC Jail Ward was established about 70 years ago, and it was a place that the officers from various agencies, such as LA Sheriffs, LAPD, California Highway Patrol, or any of the municipalities around, could bring people that they arrested who were in need of medical care.
So the jail system, very large jail system, I'm guessing, in Los Angeles, correct?
Correct, yes.
There have to be medical attendants to that jail system, correct? And you became the director of the jail medical services for the entirety of that system?
For the hospital component of it.
Understood. In California, you're obviously licensed in California.
Yes.
There is a state medical board in California, correct?
Yes.
And did you ever do any work with that state medical board?
Yes, I worked with them for about 7 years part-time as a regular employee embedded in their enforcement unit. And what that involved was examining cases that were referred to the medical board because of substandard care or illegal activities of the practitioners, providers. It was for physicians and physician assistants that we regulated.
What was your title with the state medical board for those purposes?
The title was medical consultant. That was the official title.
Okay. And then before your retirement, by the way, what years were you the medical consultant or a medical consultant for the state board in California?
I think from 2009 to 2016. I think those were the years. I'm not positive.
All right.
I did that. That was a job I was doing when I was doing the L.A. County USC Medical Center job, too. It was an extra job.
So you didn't stop working as a physician, an ER, an emergency physician at L.A. USC to take that position?
No.
You just consulted with...
I did it once a week, one day a week.
Got it. And then with regard to the one of your last positions that you held, did you become the chief medical executive of the California State Prison Corcoran?
Yes.
Tell me about that position and the years that you held that position.
So that was from 2018 to 2023. And as the chief medical executive, I was the supervisor of all the doctors and nurse practitioners that provided care to the inmates.
And obviously, California's prison system is a very large prison system.
Very.
Doctor, are you board certified in emergency medicine?
Yes.
Are you a member of the National Association of Medical Examiners?
Yes, I'm actually fellow status, which is higher than member.
Are you a member of the American Academy of Forensic Science?
Yes, again, I'm a fellow there.
Which also is an advancement above just being a member?
Correct.
Have you ever published in the area, and now I'm going to get very specific, have you ever published peer-reviewed articles and done research in the area of animal bites and scratches?
Yes.
Did you author or co-author a peer-reviewed article named Managing Law Enforcement Dog Bites in the ER?
Yes.
About what year was that?
It was in the 1990s.
Late 1990s, 1996, does that
yes.
sound right? Did you also author or co-author an article called Law Enforcement Canine Dog Bites, Injuries, Complications and Trends?
Yes.
So given those articles, did you study specifically dog bites, dog wounds on the human body?
Yes, I have a very strong interest in wounds in general, and I have a strong interest in dog bites in particular.
During the course of your career, your professional experience, how many patients would you say you've seen or treated with animal injuries, including bites and scratches?
It's very hard to estimate, but between my own practice and the residents that I supervised, it was, I'm sure, well over 500, and could possibly be double that.
Could be up as many as 1,000.
It could be, yes.
Have you qualified as an expert in emergency medicine in the past?
Yes.
Qualified as an expert in the area of forensic pathology and wounds in the past?
Yes.
Is that both in federal and state courts?
Yes.
Doctor, were you asked to review certain materials related to this case in furtherance of coming to some opinions, conclusions about injuries suffered by John O'Keefe specific to his right arm?
Yes.
What did you review in coming to your opinions, conclusions?
Well, I reviewed hospital records and pictures taken of him in the hospital, when he was in the hospital. I reviewed autopsy records, the autopsy report, and photographs taken during and before the autopsy. I reviewed the grand jury testimony of the autopsy pathologist. I reviewed affidavit of Dr. Sheridan. I reviewed the town of Canton dog bite reports about regarding incidents.
Action, may we approach?
Yes.
After this, I'll report back in session. Please be seated.
So the Commonwealth's objection is overruled. You continue.
Doctor, you've listed several items that you'd in coming to your opinions and conclusions. Did you also review a toxicological report?
Yes.
And a neurology report, a neuropathology report?
Yes.
As well, from the Commonwealth?
Yes.
Based on your review of all of those materials, I don't want to know what your opinion or conclusion is yet. Were you able to come to an opinion or conclusion concerning the injuries specifically to John O'Keefe's arm?
Yes.
Or his right arm? Were there any documents in furtherance of your review from UC Davis?
Yes.
Did you review those as well?
Objection.
Sustained.
With the court's permission, may we display Exhibit 19?
Okay.
Doctor, I want to show you a photograph and ask you very quickly, have you seen this before?
Yes.
Is this one of a number of photographs that you reviewed in furtherance of your evaluation of this case?
Yes, it is.
I'd like to just focus your attention on this for just a quick second and ask you, does this accurately reflect the wounds or injuries that you saw on John O'Keefe's right arm in coming to your opinion conclusions?
Yes, it reflects the injuries that I saw in photographs.
All right. Now, based on your review of all of the data that you've talked about, all of the information that you were given and reviewed, what is your opinion or conclusion about how these injuries were sustained?
I believe that these injuries were sustained by an animal, possibly a large dog, because of the pattern of the injuries.
Could you describe for the jurors, please, on what you based that opinion?
Yes. Well, may I use the...
Sure.
Okay, thank you. There's a number of patterns here. There, on the upper part of the arm, There's parallel lines, and those were inflicted by either teeth or claw marks. So there's a number of patterns that could be teeth or claw marks. And so this is one set right here. This is the one further down, closer to the elbow, is another set of parallel marks. Again, probably most likely from teeth marks. And the reason I say that is, in addition to the parallel marks up here, down here, there's also little punctate, incomplete puncture marks here. Little round marks right there that were inflicted by the actual point of the tooth.
Okay, that was my question. What relevance does that have to your determination that this was likely caused by an animal?
Yes, and I can explain in a moment the various kinds of wounds that animals can inflict. But going on with the picture first. So then down right at the elbow, there's another different series of marks that again have linear abrasions where the pointer is, and then down below some punctate, superficial, round, small abrasions, again representing upper and lower teeth, in my opinion. And then there are some irregular wounds down just below the elbow, and these are all, by the way, on the exterior surface, or what we call the posterior surface of the arm, which is the part of the arm that would sustain defensive type wounds. So if someone were to protect themselves.
Objection.
So sustain, next question.
Sure. Doctor, if I can ask another question. Just to clear up what you said a little earlier about some of the wounds on the close to the elbow, is it your opinion that both the top teeth and bottom teeth could have created some or all of the injuries on that elbow area?
Yes.
Okay, so in other words, instead of the mouth going all the way around the arm, it could have, the top and bottom jaw could have situated itself on this portion that we're seeing, the posterior part of the arm?
Yes. And in this case, the animal did not get a good enough contact.
Objection. Move to strike.
So I'm going to strike that ask addition.
Have you seen contact wounds where the animal, a dog, for instance, gets a very solid purchase on the leg, arm, part of the body?
Yes.
Okay. Is that this or is this something else?
Something else.
Describe that.
Well, an animal inflicts injuries. The type of injury depends in part on the actual type of contact and how much force is applied by that animal, in addition to any relative movement between the animal and the victim in this case. So, for instance, in the law enforcement dog bites, many of...
Objection.
So the nature, is it notice? Is it... What's one word?
May we approach?
Okay.
You are unmuted.
May I, Your Honor?
Yes.
Thank you. Without getting into any specifics about police canines,
okay,
does this appear, is it a pattern of injuries that you see appear consistent with an animal or a large dog?
Yes.
Does the number of injuries that you see here relegated to just the right arm, is that also consistent with an animal or large dog?
Yes, it can be.
Is the direction of the injuries or the consistency of the direction of the injuries, parallel injuries, is that also consistent with an animal or large dog attack?
Yes.
Based on everything that we've discussed today, Doctor, is it your opinion, based on a reasonable degree of medical certainty, that these injuries were from an animal attack, possibly a large dog?
Yes.
Can I have a moment, Your Honor?
Yes.
That's all I have at this time, Your Honor.
Okay.
May we approach?
Okay.
You are unmuted.
Good job.
Sure.
Good afternoon, ma'am.
Good afternoon, sir.
Now, testified that you're certified in emergency medicine, is that correct?
That is correct.
You're not, nor were you ever certified in forensic medicine, is that correct?
That is correct. Well, correct.
And when was the last time that you worked at a coroner's office?
1995, in terms of doing autopsies.
Now, when was it that you first spoke to anyone from defense counsel in regard to your coming in here and testifying today?
May 17th.
Doctor, I am going to ask you to keep your voice up.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you.
May 17th, 2024.
May 17th this year, is that right?
2024.
So about 6 weeks after this trial began?
I don't know when the trial began.
Now, as far as who reached out to who?
I reached out to a district attorney that I worked with the L.A. Coroner's Office.
And then somehow that person put you in touch with Ms. Jackson, is that right?
Yes.
And was that also on May 17th?
17th and 18th, yes.
I'm sorry, 17th or the 18th. Which one was it that you spoke with Ms. Jackson?
I didn't speak to him.
You did not speak to him?
Not speaking, not verbal. There was some email communication or text communication.
Communicated with him? Was that
yes.
On the 17th or the 8th?
Yes, both, I think.
Both. And when did you render this opinion as far as what you've testified to here today?
Shortly after he sent me the files.
Now, in regard to those files, you testified in this court a couple days ago, correct?
I did.
You were under oath at that point, is that correct?
Excuse me?
You were under oath at that point, is that
correct? Yes.
And when you were asked specifically what materials that you had reviewed, you included a number of items, which you did not include anything about a Dr. Sheridan affidavit, anything about a C. Davis report, or anything about any sort of bite history for a canine that lived or resided at 34 Fairview Road, correct?
That's correct, because I hadn't reviewed them then.
And so since then, 2 days ago, now you've reviewed them, correct?
Yes, I became aware that those files existed, yes.
Became aware of those files? Were they not sent to you previously?
No, I think there were technical difficulties regarding me and the computer and downloading from Dropbox. And so, yeah, so they were, I think they were sent to me, but I think I didn't open them.
Now, with reference to these technical difficulties, did you ever express any of those technical difficulties or, hey, I can't see the whole file or there's other things in here that are listed that I can't look at?
No, I wasn't aware.
And so with regard to, as far as your reaching out or contact in regard to this case, how did that come about?
Okay. I saw an article, I believe it was in the Boston Globe, regarding this case. And I didn't, you know, initially I didn't think anything of it. Then I saw an article that indicated that there was some...
I don't think you knew anything about anything, any article. And saw an article in the Boston Globe about
yes.
this case, all right?
Yes.
And how did you come upon it? You have a subscription to the Boston Globe?
I did at the time, yes.
At the time. What time was it?
In May.
May of 2024?
Yes.
How long had you had a subscription to the Boston Globe at the time that you saw this?
It was either a six-month subscription or a year. I don't remember.
That was the first time that you had seen anything about that?
First time I paid attention to anything like that, yes.
Now, again, you had testified here just a couple of days ago when I asked you questions about this. Is that right?
Yes.
It wasn't in your testimony just a couple of days ago that the subscription was actually for a year or 18 months.
You no.
Remember, not 6 months, yes. A year.
So only one person can talk at a time. So was that your testimony, doctor?
No, I don't believe so. I believe that I said it was a six-month subscription or a 12-month subscription.
In any event, you saw something. Is that's the first time that you recall seeing anything in the media about this case? Was in May of 2024?
It was the first time that I recall reading anything about it. Correct.
Now, did you write a report in regard to your opinions that you've testified here today?
No.
And I asked you that a couple days ago as well?
Yes.
Okay. So in the last couple days, you've had time to review a UC Davis report, Dr. Sheridan's affidavit, and any sort of dog bite history, but you haven't had a chance to write a report?
Objection.
Sustained to that.
You haven't written a report, correct?
That's correct.
Why not?
I haven't been asked to write a report, sir.
Now, did you ever look at anything related to Mr. O'Keefe's head injury?
I looked at
sustained. Yes.
You are unmuted.
May I have a moment, John?
Yes.
Now, doctor, you testified that you had some familiarity with areas of forensic science. You're on boards, things of that nature. Is that correct?
Yes.
And as a result of that or any other work experience, are you familiar with a NAS report from 2008?
Not with that limited information, no.
You're not aware of a report issued by the National Association of Forensic Science in 2008, which specifically has a section dealing with...
So I'm going to see you both at sidebar again.
More raw courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed is coming up from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Press subscribe so you don't miss a minute.
Hey there, True Crime Podcast fans. It's Patrick and Jillian from True Crime Obsessed.
Each week on TCO, we recap a true crime documentary everyone's talking about, and we do it with heart, sass, and just the right amount of humor.
So if you like the kind of podcast where two good friends chat about a case in a thoughtful way that centers the victims, you really got to check us out.
Yeah, we cover the well-known cases that you hear about in the news and the underreported cases that desperately need more attention.
For almost 9 years, we've been one of the most popular true crime podcasts out there.
We have over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, and our brand new YouTube channel has over 50,000 subscribers watching our full-length video episodes too.
So find and subscribe True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Workplace stress is now a leading cause of declining mental health, with 61% of the global workforce feeling it more than ever. You can't escape work, but you can take small steps to care for yourself. A walk, some sun, a favorite song. Therapy is one of those steps, ongoing support to build resilience for whatever your day throws at you. Balance is tough. Getting help shouldn't be. Visit BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com today for 10% off your first month.
Hey there, True Crime Podcast fans. It's Patrick and Jillian from True Crime Obsessed.
Each week on TCO, we recap a true crime documentary everyone's talking about, and we do it with heart, sass, and just the right amount of humor.
So if you like the kind of podcast where two good friends chat about a case in a thoughtful way that centers the victims, you really got to check us out.
Yeah, we cover the well-known cases that you hear about in the news and the underreported cases that desperately need more attention.
For almost 9 years, we've been one of the most popular true crime podcasts out there.
We have over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, and our brand new YouTube channel has over 50,000 subscribers watching our full-length video episodes too.
So find and subscribe True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts. Hey there, True Crime Podcast fans. It's Patrick and Jillian from True Crime Obsessed.
Each week on TCO, we recap a true crime documentary everyone's talking about, and we do it with heart, sass, and just the right amount of humor.
So if you like the kind of podcast where two good friends chat about a case in a thoughtful way that centers the victims, you really gotta check us out.
Yeah, we cover the well-known cases that you hear about in the news and the underreported cases that desperately need more attention.
For almost 9 years, we've been one of the most popular true crime podcasts out there.
We have over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, and our brand new YouTube channel has over 50,000 subscribers watching our full-length video episodes too.
So find and subscribe True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts. Hey there, True Crime Podcast fans. It's Patrick and Jillian from True Crime Obsessed.
Each week on TCO, we recap a true crime documentary everyone's talking about, and we do it with heart, sass, and just the right amount of humor.
So if you like the kind of podcast where two good friends chat about a case in a thoughtful way that centers the victims, you really gotta check us out.
Yeah, we cover the well-known cases that you hear about in the news and the underreported cases that desperately need more attention.
For almost 9 years, we've been one of the most popular true crime podcasts out there.
We have over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, and our brand new YouTube channel has over 50,000 subscribers watching our full-length video episodes too.
So find and subscribe True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts. Hey there, True Crime Podcast fans. It's Patrick and Jillian from True Crime Obsessed.
Each week on TCO, we recap a true crime documentary everyone's talking about, and we do it with heart, sass, and just the right amount of humor.
So if you like the kind of podcast where two good friends chat about a case in a thoughtful way that centers the victims, you really gotta check us out.
Yeah, we cover the well-known cases that you hear about in the news and the underreported cases that desperately need more attention.
For almost 9 years, we've been one of the most popular true crime podcasts out there.
We have over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, and our brand new YouTube channel has over 50,000 subscribers watching our full-length video episodes too.
So find and subscribe True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.
Chances are, you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Hey there, True Crime Podcast fans. It's Patrick and Jillian from True Crime Obsessed.
Each week on TCO, we recap a true crime documentary everyone's talking about, and we do it with heart, sass, and just the right amount of humor.
So if you like the kind of podcast where two good friends chat about a case in a thoughtful way that centers the victims, you really gotta check us out.
Yeah, we cover the well-known cases that you hear about in the news and the underreported cases that desperately need more attention.
For almost 9 years, we've been one of the most popular true crime podcasts out there.
We have over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, and our brand new YouTube channel has over 50,000 subscribers watching our full-length video episodes, too.
So find and subscribe True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.